When I start with a nice word and parshas Bechikoisai, the Heilige Zanzeruv in the Vrechaim says on the Pusik in Bechikoisai Leichi, Ves Mitzvahis Teshmoiri, Ven Osati Geshmeichem Beitam. He says the Gashmius and the Choymer of a person, Beteva, pulls him down, pulls him to the Yetzahara. So many things that are pulling a person and tempting a person and make it very hard to be Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs properly. Whether it's things that people see or they hear and things that are very hard to control, it could be sometimes a temptation that gets aroused in somebody's heart and somebody's feelings. Not even control of it. What do? We need Hashem to help us with that. So Rebbe Zanzeruv says that if you listen to the Torah and mitzvahs and you try to do what you could, Nasati Geshmeichem, Hashem makes that the Gashmias and all the things that are pulling a person should only be Be'itam. He shouldn't suddenly see what he shouldn't see. He shouldn't suddenly be tempted something that he shouldn't be tempted. It's Hashem that's helping us control ourselves because there are so many things that are hard for a person to control. The things that are simpler, the things that are more practical and technical, okay, for that we could expect a person to be more in control of himself and make good choices. But the things that happen suddenly, and the things that are natural and tempting and desires, for that we need so much Seyat D'Shemaya. It's an important concept, you know, just to understand that there are so many things that a person can't even help himself. He needs so much Seyat D'Shemaya. So look to Hashem, please help me. I can't overcome these things that are naturally difficult, I should say, and I need your help. And often it helps us also be forgiving toward other people when we realize that a lot of their shortcomings and things that get on our nerves are natural for them. You know, so if I notice a friend of mine that's struggling in a certain area, and to me it looks so simple, like, hey, why can't he do better over there? And I realize, you know, maybe that's because that's for him a natural challenge. And even though for me it's much easier, he needs a lot more Siyat D'Shemaya to overcome that, and I didn't know if he could do it on his own. And I hope Hashem will help him do it, but it just makes it more forgiving. In general, I think this is some of it is a myth and some of it is true, that a lot of the challenges that men and women experience are so different one from another that they don't understand each other. So you have men who are wondering why their wife is struggling with whatever kind of challenge of tznius or whatever it is. You have a wife who's wondering why her husband's struggling with going to learn. She likes learning. She likes hearing a shir once a week. So why doesn't he like going to learn? Things like that. I think it's so important to understand that, yeah, everyone has their natural challenges and the things that are naturally difficult. That's where we struggle. That's where we need to have the Shemaya. And that's where we have to work on ourselves and try our best and wait for Hashem to help us out. So, with that, let me read a question over here. Thank you for your Torah lessons. Okay, that's my weekly email called Torah Lessons. For those who want to subscribe, you could do so by sending an email to parshalessons@lahair.org. parshalessons@lehair.org, and you will receive a weekly paper with a Torah lesson. I wanted to ask a marriage question. I hope it's going to be clear. How can I, as a wife, be vulnerable to my husband and remain connected and dependent on him, while at the same time not have expectations and try to protect myself from his mistakes and botch-ups? I'll explain more. Baruch Hashem, we have a pretty good marriage after many years of work. My husband is kind and helpful when he can, and we have a big focus on building a connected and happy marriage. My husband is often late, and timing is not easy for him to be on top of. Of course, I am very good at being on time. When I find myself disappointed or angry very often about him not being there when he said he would, or similar, I sometimes try to remind myself what they teach, no expectations. So I started talking to myself inside. He said 10 o'clock, don't expect him till 12. Or don't expect him at all. But then I realized that would make me not have a husband-wife relationship, where a big part of it is relying on him and needing him. But when he keeps disappointing me in this way, I'm looking for ways to protect and prepare myself so I don't keep feeling this disappointment. Can you please advise? Thank you. Okay. So the first thing that I'll do is validate that this is definitely very frustrating. Very frustrating to have somebody who is not reliable. And it's also something that's pretty constantly relevant, which means there are things that are only relevant once in a while. There are things that you could technically look away from and ignore if you choose to, and then there are things that keep on coming up and keep on bumping into, not a question. And without going into the other side of the story, I will clearly say that if any husband thinks that this may be his wife writing about him, or the other way around for that matter, any wife who feels that her husband is complaining, you know, that she's always late, it's not okay. It's clearly not okay. This, what I'm going to be talking about now is not about that, but it's clearly not okay to not be on time and not be reliable and not be able to help someone and be there for someone and connect in a normal way when someone needs you, not a question. The fact that you started off by saying that you have a good husband and he's kind and helpful and a good marriage again, being appreciative and understanding of somebody's qualities and noticing them is always the first thing. The first thing, and it's also good as a backdrop to what's going on over here, just to make sure you're not talking about somebody who's abusing you, you're not talking about a bad person, you're talking about somebody malicious, you're talking about a wonderful person who you're happily married to, and there's an issue over here. Okay? It's very important to know that. One more thing, also just as an introduction, you mentioned about having a husband-wife relationship. It's important to remember that, yes, you could have a husband-wife relationship with somebody who's not reliable and not on time. And in general, almost every issue should never be seen as so basic and so fundamental that I can't have a husband-wife relationship with you unless it's actually in the very basics of marriage. Marriage has a definition. Sometimes people think they're married, they're not really married. But most shortcomings and deficiencies and difficulties and problems shouldn't be interpreted as, I can't be married to you if this problem exists. It shouldn't be that way. And that's just something that, you know, a mistake of getting black and white and thinking that it's all or none. And with this, I can't have that. You know, it's important to remember you could be married to somebody who's very late and very unreliable and a lot of other problems, which I'm not even going to list now, that should not take away from feeling that, yes, I have a husband-wife relationship and I have a problem. That's very important. Now, like I started talking about before, I'll tell you a little secret. Everybody has shortcomings. Nobody's perfect. This is something that recently I was talking with people about shidduchim and information. It's almost comical how when people ask shidduch information, right, the natural reaction is that if you hear somebody say something bad about the person you're asking about, you get turned off. Right? So you went around. I'm not talking about where you're asking five people and all five tell you, not great. You're asking 30 people. Let's talk about people who do very thorough information. You 30 people. 25 out of these 30 people tell you great things about the boy or girl you're asking about, which means you're well-liked, and erlich, and you're shemaim, and this, and that, and batam. And a few people tell you, there's this and this thing that's not great. When he was in that school, or that place, or in this area, or in this thing, I can't say it's 100. I can't say it's 100. And a lot of people get turned off by that. Oh, I found that. I found the person who told me the truth. Now, I don't know if you found the person who told you the truth or not, and it's a whole different discussion about how to know who's telling you the truth, which we should talk about more at length one day, but what happens if you found the person telling you the truth? In other words, you found somebody who's telling you that the person you're asking about is not perfect? Seriously? You thought you were talking about a perfect person? Close your eyes and think about the people that you know, people on your block, people in your family, people at your workplace, people that live with you in your house. Are any of them perfect? If you had to draw up a list of qualities and deficiencies or milas, chesronos, you wouldn't be able to come up with any chesron about every single one of them. So when you hear that somebody has some kind of something that's not a quality, is that a reason to turn it down? Or maybe it's true, and maybe in the big picture, that's just so not important. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to prioritize. You know, we hear people talking about priorities in shidduchim. It's usually an older single who can't find a shidduch because they're being too picky. You have to prioritize and give up on certain things when you're settling. It has nothing to do with settling. It has to do, if you want to know, if you know what you're looking for, you can figure out if that's what you're finding. But if you're looking for perfect, and you actually think you found it, then you're probably just fooling yourself, and you're in for a surprise. Anyway, back to the discussion that we're talking about. Everybody has shortcomings. You, and your husband, and everyone else. So part of marriage, and part of living with somebody, means tolerating. Not just because you're tolerating someone who's not exactly like you, because you're tolerating somebody with shortcomings. Every person, if they had the choice, they would tweak something in their spouse to make it even better. Some people will say that it's good, but it could be better. Some people will say it's bad, it could be good. But everybody would do things everybody would change something if they could. And that's what tolerance is about. Now, for some people, it's easier because the issue that they have to tolerate is not so bad. For some people, it's easier because their tolerance level is greater. But everybody has to tolerate somewhere. And it's so important to learn to accept someone with their shortcomings. It doesn't mean you like it. It doesn't mean you don't want it to change. It means that you're accepting it, whether it's your child or your spouse or whoever it is. And that's people look at it sometimes like, oh, so I should give up on him? It's not about giving up, it's about accepting. I don't want to call a shortcoming a handicap, because again, that sounds very bad. You're a handicapped person. But everybody has some handicap. You could either accept it with a broken heart of giving up and saying, wow, that's terrible, I thought I'd be able to have something better. Or you could just accept it as, okay, this is difficult for the person. Let me see if I can live with it until that person is able to perfect himself, if there's such a thing. And if people can come to that acceptance, it's definitely, it's a big problem. Even on a personal level, when people can't accept themselves, that's a problem. But at least when it comes to yourself, you try harder to make yourself better, which is what we're all trying to do in this world. It was a chiddush to me when somebody told me that he went to speak with a certain guru Yisrael about something that he was trying to, a challenge he was trying to overcome. It wasn't a challenge that he had to overcome, let's call it, because it wasn't an avaira, it wasn't something that you're not allowed to do. He wasn't violating anything, but it was something that he really was working on hard, and it wasn't going. And he's putting a lot of effort, and he went to ask this guru Yisrael for an aitza. And guru Yisrael asked him, how long are you doing this? What's the different things you try? And it was a reasonable thing. He wasn't trying, it wasn't a manash tal riki, he wasn't trying to remember Shas by heart. He was trying to overcome a certain challenge that was hard for him. And he was getting very broken from the fact that it wasn't going. And he asked this gudel, this ruv, what else can I do? I did this and I did that, it's not going. I think it's time to give up. He's like, what? We don't give up. Give up is yish. It's time to accept that this is difficult. And you could keep on trying, and if you get there is good, and if not, not. For now, just accept the fact that you may not be able to achieve this thing, focus on something else. Now, a lot of people probably won't like that piece of advice, but what I noticed was that this person became happier and calmer, and started growing in other areas, and eventually this also became easier. I noticed it. The point is just that you can't eat yourself up on the fact that something is difficult for you. And the fact that something is naturally difficult for you doesn't mean that it's going to be easy for you to overcome. And certainly when it comes to other people, we definitely have to be more accepting of the fact that it's hard for them and we can dictate what people work on. So I think that this is something very important. Acceptance doesn't mean you're happy about something. It doesn't mean you like it. It doesn't mean you got yourself to like it. It means that you accepted it. I spoke about this not too long ago, and I don't want to say it again at length, but Rosh Yeshiva was telling me about a woman who wanted to get divorced, which this doesn't seem like the situation over here, because her husband wasn't reliable. If I'm not mistaken, that was the example. And she thought that he would try to convince her otherwise, and he said, no, I think I actually have a shidduch for you. She's like, whoa, that was fast, I didn't even get divorced yet. And he started saying that I have a guy, very, very reliable, a whole spiel how he did it, with how many points on each priority, how important is it, very reliable guy, he'll always be there on time, always say the right thing, whatever. He could lose his temper once in a while and hit you maybe, you know, not often, and maybe be very insulting. His Yiddishkeit is not great, but he's very reliable. And even the Yiddishkeit is not bad, he doesn't hit too often. And he slowly got her to realize that the husband you married will never hit you, and is very ehrlich, and pleasant, and geschmack, and he's not so reliable. And that's your challenge, instead of taking the other challenges somebody else might come with. So it's clearly that when you're dealing with somebody who has a natural shortcoming, a natural difficulty, the fact that somebody is late and not reliable, and could be a natural difficulty that maybe even your husband tried working on, maybe he didn't try working on, but whatever it is, he's consistent. He's consistent with his shortcoming. This is what's hard for him. And sometimes acceptance is really what's going to get you furthest. Now, on a practical level, let's just say something else, which I hope won't sound like a contradiction. Many times that women or men, by the way, it's the same thing both ways, that you're dealing with somebody who's so unreliable, a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're enabling it. If you make up to leave to go shopping at 6 o'clock, and your husband comes at 9, and you waited for him until 9, and you go with him at 9, he might do it again next week. If you either leave early, without getting upset, just leave early, or you tell him at 9 that I can't go at 9. Yeah, but we wanted to go. I know, maybe next time. He might not do it again. So a lot of these things definitely happen because somebody is tolerating it and enabling it. So it could get tricky to know how to do it and when to do it and how to communicate about it. My point is just that sometimes, now if you're doing everything right and somebody still has these difficulties that they can overcome, that's where sometimes you just got to accept it and move on in life and deal with it responsibly. Sometimes there's so many simple things you could do to make things different. So sometimes just not letting it happen and not waiting around for somebody, that can make somebody come a little faster. Sometimes being a little creative, and you know, I don't like giving dishonest ideas, certainly not in public, but I did mention that a certain Rebbe told me, I don't know why every time I say it, I don't want to quote him by name. I do tell people when they ask me who was it, but I don't like quoting it because sometimes people can misinterpret it. But he used to tell Chassanim, and I heard it from him as well when I was a Chusin, whenever you plan on being home, say later. Give a later time. You're going to be home at 7? Say 7:30. Say 8:30. Like this, whenever you come home, you're early. Instead of saying 7 and coming home late, and your wife will be upset why you're late. I think it goes the same way the other way around, and I've heard this from people. When I have to leave at 8, my wife is never ready on time, so I tell her we have to leave at 7, and I ask her if it's okay, she says yeah, and I arrange to leave at 8, and we're all good. She's a little late, I'm on time, we got the way we wanted when I decided I want to get there, and everything worked out. With a little creativity, sometimes, instead of just seeing the pattern and getting frustrated and letting it happen, You can come up with ideas to either behave differently or to communicate differently, and say differently, and make up things differently, and that can definitely work. You can schedule things differently. Sometimes morning people, night people, there are different times that work better. Instead of making the same mistakes, that's definitely something that's I think that's something that could really change a lot of things. And in general, not to be so dependent. You want to know how you could be dependent and happily married. Maybe you don't have to be so dependent. It would be nice if you could always rely on your husband being there to take you and always relying on him to be on time. Sometimes you don't have to be. People don't like when I suggest, I've spoken about this in public, when I talk about boundaries, mine, yours, and ours. The things that are mine, the things that are yours, the things that are ours, the things that we have to agree on and work together about, the things that we specifically don't have to agree on and don't work together about, and the things that are questionable. I remember giving the example of a couple who, excuse me, they were arguing if they should go visit their child in camp. The mother felt it was extremely important to visit a child in camp. The father thought it was extremely unimportant to visit a child in camp. No reason to kill the day, whatever. And I said, why doesn't the mother go on her own and the father not? Now, she couldn't handle that. What do you mean? I think it's important that the father come. You could think it's important that he come. He doesn't have to come. But why? I'm going to go myself? Why not? Now, I'm not saying that's the ideal circumstance. I'm saying that if you feel so important, get up and go. Why does the husband have to agree with you? And why does the husband have to feel like, I think it's not important, and kids should know they don't have to get guests, they don't have to get visitors? If your wife is okay going, is it terrible if she gets a visitor? Now, I understand you might not like that it doesn't reflect well on you, that you stayed home and she went. I think that's part of it. Many decisions, it's not the ideal way of doing things. I don't want people to think I'm advocating, doing everything on your own, we're only roommates. There are enough things that you'll have to do together. And there are some things you can do on your own. So if you want to go to a simcha at 6 o'clock, and your husband doesn't come home before 8, 9 o'clock, and you come late to every simcha, go yourself. I'm a married woman, I should go myself. Well, first of all, you're probably going to the women's section. So I don't know how many people are going to notice you in the lobby with or without your husband. But it's okay. It might work better, and you're less dependent, and you still have a husband-wife relationship, and you go home together. Maybe you go home together. Maybe he comes too late, you go home yourself. You go somewhere else together. It's definitely something to think about. People... For some people, it's actually normal. Some people actually do things that way. Some people not. I have a family member, not a close family member, but a family member. I don't know. It seems like he and his wife have no problem being in different places, different times. They travel separately and they go separately and they're happily married. Sometimes they do come together, sometimes not. For some people, it's fine. Some people not. So some people who like it and are fine with it, they'll do it lechet chiller. And some people who aren't, they'll do it b'dieved. And it will save you so much resentment and frustration that it's a shame to be so dependent and to think that that's what marriage is about. And then to not get along over it, and then to think you're not happily married. Now, it's clear that so much of this and anything else has to do with communication. How you communicate and when you communicate. If you wait till the last minute when you want to leave and you're on Spilkes, calling Yasmin, where are you? And he's not picking up the phone because he's late or whatever. That's not a way to do it. If you communicate about these things in a degrading, condescending, or critical way, it's also not the way to do it. No reason to debate. It's very clear that... I said it in the Yiddish Shir, I'm not going to go into it at length now, but anything nasty or critical has nothing to do with the way your husband's behaving, it has to do with you. And if you're communicating with somebody in a nasty way, it says something about you, not about how you're being treated. In any case, if you're polite and you're nice and you're understanding and forgiving, and you're also very assertive and very firm, very clear about what's important to you, and you're very clear about how you want to do something, and you're understanding with the other person, very often that does a lot. And sometimes it's good to clarify, again, without anything challenging, I really want to leave at 6. I would love if you could be here for me. If by 6:30 you're not here, please don't be upset if I go on my own. Again, I love going with you. I would hate going on my own. It's not because I'm trying to get back at you, but waiting until after 6:30 is very, very hard for me. And I really hope you won't be upset. And at 6:30, you go. You go. And again, not in an angry way. And if you're going to get angry and frustrated and start getting all cold-shouldered, then yeah, probably won't be taken well. But if you're clear, and you could even ask him, is it okay? I hope you're not going to be offended. I really want to leave at 6, but I'll wait till 6:30. Very often, when you instead of beating around the bush, I want to go early, I want to go late, I wouldn't want to go myself, I don't want to go myself. Be clear, communicate clearly, and politely, and gently. And I definitely think it will take you very far. So, it's very nice to see when people can be understanding of each other's shortcomings, and accepting of each other's shortcomings. I see this every once in a while. I have people coming to me. I only sit with men. But a lot of times their wife is on the phone or they're talking. And I hear it and I get a glimpse. And sometimes I'm watching a guy. He's talking to me. And he's not impressive. Let's put it mildly. he's not talking intelligently. Oh, he's saying silly things. Oh, yeah, a lot of things that I could see could turn off a wife. I could see myself getting a letter about my husband. He has no manners. He's not smart. He's this. He's that. And everyone will say, you know, I understand why she's unhappy. You know, she's married to him. And I'm watching this guy who I could see people being very unhappy being married. And the wife is talking respectfully and nicely and pleasantly. You'd be surprised. It's so nice to see how people could be respectful and tolerant of each other, even though it could be obvious that there are things that are not desirable and not geschmack. And then you have people who get turned off by any little thing, and it becomes a major issue. Major issue. And now the whole marriage is no good, and nothing's good, and I can't handle it, and it has to change. And even though you try changing it 150 times, and you see it's not working, you're still going crazy over it. A lot of it has to do with you. And this is both ways. I'm not saying it because it's the woman. I'm not saying it's the one that's on time, the one who's late. Everybody who looks at themselves and tries to be more tolerant and accepting and respectful could really go a long way and really accomplish a lot. And when you start blaming the issue as that's the reason why we're not happy, or that's the reason why we don't have respectful communication or a normal relationship, it's usually just taking what my father would call putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Not looking at where the problem really is. It's an attitude, it's communication, and a lot of that. Almost always, when people love each other or work on themselves to be more tolerant and understanding and flexible, almost nothing is an issue. You'd be surprised. And when people can't do that, then almost everything is an issue. And it's very sad. So I think we have to learn the lesson of what the Divrei Chaim is teaching us, that there are things that are hard for people, and we all need to get the Shema to overcome that which is hard. And with the right amount of acceptance, and then just dealing with things in an intelligent way, and just making the right moves and not making problems worse or letting them get worse, and communicating nicely about them, I really think we could all help ourselves and help each other, know what we could change, know what we can't change, accept the things we can't change, as we say, and live together.